Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. Fan Run Radio, Russell Smith, punch of the time clock, Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Good to be with you. It's a big one today.
Indeed it is, sir.
We're only, what, 28 hours away from first pitch over at Lindsey Nelson?
Yeah.
Tony Vitello joins the festivities in hour number three at 5:20. We'll also talk to Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247, coming up here in a little bit over an hour. Why not? Because the recruiting bonanza continues for all sports. Over on campus right now, man. Big things happening. Big things happening. Let's start where it started on the phone. Let's just go chronologically. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
Started early this morning. Vincent Snead makes it official. Tennessee lands defensive lineman from down in California. Down in, great start, huh? Down in Florida. Josh Heupel's old stomping ground, 6'4", 230 pounds, with the frame to add a lot more, a three-star. Had a pretty good offer list, Pittsburgh, Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, along with all the USF, FAU. Doesn't sound like the bigger Florida schools offered him, but, we'll see what happens. Tennessee's second commitment in 2 days. He joins Elijah Herring from Murfreesboro Riverdale yesterday, committing to the Vols. So all the talk about Josh Heupel, where the commitments? Well, he's got two now. So if you're from just a strictly numbers perspective, I'm sure that the half glass, half emptiers out there will say that, but they're three stars. And fair enough, I suppose. I think the bigger criticism might be that you could be about to lose out on the Wade twins tomorrow.
Yeah.
As it certainly sounds like that is what's going to happen. Does this take some of the sting out of losing the Wade twins?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
That didn't sound very convincing.
I mean, the one Wade kid is kind of stings because he's in a position of need.
Yeah, I think that that it's going to sting. Ironically, I feel like this is one of those things. Butch Jones used to do this all the time. Pruitt did it. Everybody does it now, where they time the commitments. They've known that Vincent Snead was coming for a while. I think they knew that Herring was coming for a while. And I think they timed this out. It's like, okay, when they figured out that the Wade twins weren't coming, they said, we're going to have Herring announce on Wednesday. We're going to have Snead announce on Thursday. And then when the Wade twins go, yeah, it'll sting, but this softens the blow a little bit. A, I don't know how much it softens the blow, but B, the thing that actually softens the blow is what's happening on the basketball side of things right now.
Oh, they're making hay.
I don't know that you had to do this if you're Tennessee right now and trying to get trying to strategically announce commitments so that the impact of losing key in-state guys is lessened, because, and this is just purely coincidence, but it just so happens that Rick Barnes has been doing work this week. Yesterday, you get Jonas Adu, and today, Brandon Huntley Hatfield makes it official, the 6'9", 230-pounder, who's originally from Clarksville, and the number 6 overall player in the class of 2022 announces that not only is he committing to Tennessee, but he's reclassifying and will be in the class of 2021. So he will join the team next year. Let's go to the roster board, as this has been fluid and we've been updating it all week long. Right now, Tennessee, if we are including Fulke coming back, which I think most people are penciling him in at this point, that is 12 of 14 spots with Quentin Abunjie, Jonas Adu, and Brandon Huntley Hatfield now committed or signed to Tennessee. You've got two spots left. Will Haji Tamba from Catholic go ahead and reclassify and join the festivities? Certainly seems to be a lot of speculation that he will. A
lot of smoke, Russ. A lot of smoke.
If we go ahead and pencil him in this scenario, that leaves one spot to play with. For Rick Barnes, assuming that Vescovi and Kamwa and anybody else who might be looking around decide to come back. Bear, there's a lot of buzz out there. People are feeling much better about this roster now, all of a sudden.
I mean, it's shaping up to be possibly the number two class in the country. How could you not?
Well, you could not, because and this is interesting, because I feel like the events of the past 48 hours or so have shown exactly where the division in the fan base lies. There are, and you've seen this at the end, and I'm sure we'll hear it on the show today from a caller or two. Yeah, but Barnes will choke in March. And so, hey,
you gotta live in your hopes and not your fears.
Hey, you know which side of the ledger I come down on. But there are, I have seen that as like, okay, well, this doesn't address, or we still don't have a true big that we can throw it to. We still don't have a lot of shooting on the outside. Well, so, there's kernels of truth there. But, I mean, look, we've never had the perfect basketball roster. On paper, this is probably as good as any that we've ever had, right?
I mean, probably the closest was that our Elite Eight team.
Yeah.
As far as being the most complete basketball team.
Well, on paper, I thought you were referencing the Jerry Green team, the Sweet 16 team.
Oh, the one that lost
on
North
paper,
Carolina?
It's probably this past one, and this next one, as far as
on
number
paper,
of guys that played in the pros.
Yeah, but I'm just talking, just completely take the NBA out of it.
Yeah.
The best team we ever have is probably Pearls,
just
Elite Eight.
Well, I mean, they certainly went the furthest. I mean, I like it. Look, you've got –
was that with Bobby at point that year?
Yeah. You've got Powell on some draft boards. Kennedy Chandler is obviously an NBA prospect. Adu, Huntley Hatfield. I mean, there's four guys right there that have and I've even seen some mock drafts that have Triple J going. So there's four or five guys with somewhat legitimate NBA prospects on this team next year. The talent is there. Where do you feel this roster is lacking right now? What is the hole for Rick Barnes that he could still yet fill with these two remaining spaces that he has?
We got Huntley Hatfield. He's 6'10", 240. We've got a rim protector now with the Adu kid. Got Fulkerson coming back.
I feel like
it's a pretty solid team.
I feel like the one point, maybe
two or three,
maybe point guard depth.
Yeah.
One. And then,
but Powell maybe, can play the one as well.
Yeah. Well, Vescovi, Triple J. I mean, you've got options there, but Victor Bailey, but not, there's going to be a drop off, I would imagine, from Kennedy Chandler to whoever collects
sure.
those minutes behind him. But that's pretty nitpicky, I would say. The other kind of, I wouldn't say glaring weakness, but possible weakness. I do wonder how good we are going to be in the post next year.
I mean, you're asking an awful lot out of a kid that should be a senior in high school and Byron, is it Byron Huntley Hatfield? Brandon Huntley Hatfield. And then Adu is, I mean, he's a 7-footer, but he's also, what, 205?
Well, they're both going to be freshmen. They have no college experience.
And this is an awfully tough league to just come right in. And
yeah, I mean, at some point you're going to be going up against a junior who's in that 6'6 to 6'10 range.
About 230.
To a 20-plus, who's man-strong, as Bruce Pearl used to like to say.
Yeah.
and you're going to have to.
I mean, because Alabama and Arkansas are. I mean, they're, you know, with the grad transfers and just the nature of SEC basketball. I would agree with you on that one.
So, I mean, that's a question. And then I will say this for the Barnes bashers out there, of which there are many. I totally share the concern that we will get into March and that Rick Barnes will not help us. That there will be a close game in the NCAA tournament in which he'll do something screwy, keeping a guy on the bench, mismanagement of timeouts, whatever the case may be. Yes, I have those concerns, and I'm a huge Rick Barnes supporter, but how could you not have those concerns through the after what we've seen for six seasons now so far? But that doesn't mean I want him fired or I think there's a better option out there. This is our basketball program. It is what it is. As I've been saying since the end of the season, you're going to have good players on the roster. They're not going to embarrass you off the court. They're going to work hard. They're going to play the game the right way. They're going to hustle. All that stuff is true. They're going to develop these players. And they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to make the tournament. All these good things. But I will always say until we are proven otherwise that Rick Barnes has shown himself to be mediocre at best in the NCAA tournament. So that's that.
That's fair. Firm but fair, Russ. Yeah. That's what I like about you.
All right. Well, we got open lines this first hour, so if you want to talk, now would be a good time. 865-546-8200. We'll talk with Ryan Callahan, recruiting coming up here next hour on the show. Tony Vitello joins in hour number three to talk Tennessee baseball. Head coach of the Baseball Vols. Another huge series begins tomorrow against Vanderbilt. Let's check the barometer. How many games are we winning this weekend, Bear?
Two. We're taking the series. We're going to rock Kumar. Send his ass back to White Castle. Give me a sack full, Kumar.
Delicious flavor crystals exploding in your mouth. Guy Patterson III would like to offer his biggest question mark on this roster that Rick Barnes has assembled on paper. GP3.
I just think we're going to need another spot-up shooter, somebody that we can rely on.
I don't know how closely you follow this guy, Tyreek Key, the transfer from Indiana State. Would he fill that void in your mind?
It definitely help. I mean, right now we have Powell and Victor Bailey, probably the only two right now I would – and Bailey is an if.
Well, here's the question. Do you want to – and then you have the Dante kid out there who, remember, we just signed Rod Clark coached him over at Sunrise. So there's a tie-in there. Do you take – what do you do with those last two spots? Do you take a flyer on Tamba and basically just stick him on your roster with the hopes that – you can coach him up.
I feel like
a couple of years
ago.
Hold on. Do you take a flyer on him?
I call it a flyer.
And the other spot, Tyreek Key or something, or do you leave one or both spots open, like we've talked about several times, in case another Vescovi or Stokes situation presents itself later on this year, even into next season?
You go ahead and get Tamba on campus. I wouldn't call it a flyer. You just go ahead and get him locked in. Because you know our luck. They back off of that one, and he doesn't reclassify, and he stays over there at Catholic High School for another year.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if he's willing to come now, why wouldn't he be willing to come a year from now?
Who knows with 17-year-old kids?
Because
you're going to give another year, and what if he develops more? And ends
good.
Up going up, yeah, yeah, until somebody else comes a-calling. You know, Georgetown's still after him.
He's not going to Georgetown. Come on, man. Come on. I know you know this. He's not going to Georgetown. As long as Rick Barnes is here, he'll come here next year.
No, but you thinking that this kid's going to be a lock to us next year if all of a sudden Barnes backs off on letting him reclassify and coming on now. You're fooling yourself. I mean, it's a risk. You can't say that there's not a I mean, there's always a chance. He could decide. But, I mean, what happens if he comes on and then Kentucky or I'll tell you who really likes him is, from what I've heard, is Buck Pearl.
Well, if the – see, what you said is a little bit different from what I've heard, and maybe I've been misinformed, but you make it sound like this is what he wants to do. I've heard that Tennessee is kind of asking him to reclassify. If he really wants to do it and you tell him no, then, yeah, that could be a risk. But if it's Barnes, I don't know. I want him on the roster. Don't get me wrong here, but I don't see.
I kind of don't like your tone right now.
I don't see how big of an impact.
My guy.
Okay, you can not like it. That's fine. I don't see what kind of impact he provides next year.
Next year, nothing.
Then that's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, but the year following that, do you want to go ahead and get him in over there? Get him on the training table. Get him in. I can't ever say the guy, our strength and conditioning coach's name, Maitland.
Garrett Maidenwald.
Garrett Maidenwald. I mean, do you want him in a college weight program?
Based off what I've seen, and granted it's just one game and a couple of YouTube clips and stuff like that, he is a project that is, in my mind, a 4 to 5 year process.
Oh, so, you're crazy. You need to watch more than just one game and a couple of YouTube clips in. He's not a four or five year project.
I'm not saying we don't get anything out of him until 4 or 5 years. I'm saying like
he's very similar to Kyle Alexander.
Well,
which you have spent the past 6 years crowing about. If we just redshirted Kyle Alexander, got him in on the training table, got him in the weight room.
Yes.
Imagine how good he could have been second year, third year, fourth year.
No. That is not what I've been
talking about. Yeah. It's what you've been saying. I don't like this anti-Tomba stance you're taking.
It's not
right
an
now.
Anti-Tomba stance.
Go ahead and do
the thing so that we can get back to the regular conversation.
You make me sick.
Yeah, I hate the local kids. Don't want to recruit.
No,
Tomba.
You don't. No.
Okay.
You don't like the Catholic.
I don't
kids.
Like the Catholic kids.
No.
Hate the Catholic program.
If Hanji Tomba anti-Catholic was a West High Rebel going down there at 3,300, you know, just mirror.
Yep.
Blocks
I would
away.
Love him. I would love him.
Oh,
I would want him to reclassify as a sophomore.
You'd be wearing a T-shirt right now with his face on.
Okay. You good?
Yeah.
Got that out of your system? Okay. So what I've been saying about Kyle Alexander was we should have redshirted him, which is exactly what I'm saying about Tomba.
Yes, he's going to come in and redshirt.
We should have redshirted him because then he would have been better as a fifth-year player.
You're right.
Extend the clock.
What I'm saying is Tomba's 7 feet tall. He's good enough where you give him another year to develop, and he flashes more than he already has, which I don't.
What are you talking about, man? Are you? I feel like you're arguing my point for me.
No, what I'm telling you is I'd rather go ahead and get him on campus now before he goes out and has some crazy senior year and he ends up damn Kentucky or Duke or North Carolina. One of the blue bloods.
All right, we'll
You act like 7 feeters grow on trees. They don't. Well,
apparently, they do because we've got two on the roster right now. We're about to bring in a third and maybe a fourth if Enfali Dante wants to come out here. So, one other point I meant to make this last week after the championship game, Gonzaga and Baylor. Do we overrate in the college game rim protection?
No.
Those teams didn't have 7-footers. Those teams had, Chakwa Chumwa or whoever on Baylor. He's 6'9", 6'10", whatever. But I wouldn't even call them rim protectors. There are no 7-footers on that team. Gonzaga did not have any 7-footers.
Chakwa Chumwa is, did he say it?
Yeah.
Did I get it right? Wow.
I don't know.
He's a rim protector.
Yeah. He's
a shot trajectory changer for sure.
But I mean, was that what won them? That was he the catalyst for that team? I feel like
he was
very
part
much
of
a role
it.
Player for them.
Yeah, but you take him off the floor. Do they win it? I don't know.
But they would have replaced him with another similar player. I mean, is that guy going to the NBA? I don't know. Maybe he is. But my question is, do we overrate? I would rather have. Give me Grant Williams over Kyle Alexander. If I have to choose between the two, I think everybody would agree with that, correct?
Kyle Alexander, the way he was at Tennessee.
No,
I would have liked to have seen Kyle Alexander with a red shirt year.
Oh, my God. All right. I think 100% of us would agree that we would take Grant Williams over Kyle Alexander. Give me the guy who's 6'6" and can guard anybody on the floor and can score over the guy, the 7-footer who can't play on offense, but yeah, he's He has a major impact on the defensive side of the court. That seemed to be a running theme in college basketball this year.
When we went down in flames and really missed Barnes' best shot since he's been here at making a Final Four, wasn't because we didn't have Grant Williams. It's because Kyle Alexander hit the floor and had a hip pointer, and he was out.
It's true.
We have Kyle Alexander. I think that we may have a Final Four banner hanging in at in the Tommy Bowl.
Perhaps.
You tell me. Am I wrong?
No, maybe. I don't know.
We were lost without him.
Fulkerson was not ready to fill the shoes, unfortunately, that day. Stay with us. The drive continues. Open lines here. If you want to jump in, take a shot. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fascinating story in the New York Post. Can I veer off the script this early in the show? Is that going to be allowed?
Yeah, why not? Go ahead.
The have you heard of the Pizzly Bear?
No.
Pizzly bears are they're breeding. Well, they're not breeding, but like polar bears and grizzly bears are mixing.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Pizzly bears first seen in the wild in 2006. This polar
is
bear
something spontaneously that's happening.
Polar bear grizzly bear hybrid. This is due to climate change.
Right.
The polar bears are dying off.
Yeah, because they're
coming
south. Aquatic. They're primarily aquatic animals.
But they're coming south in search of whatever they're coming south for, food.
You know, a lot of times when you have, like, say, like when you have like tigers and lions that breed like that.
Ligers
or tigons, they can have like mutant sized. Some of them, depending on which one's female and which one's male. So this is all we need. I mean, a full-grown male polar bear
is
like 11 feet tall as it is.
Would they say in Jurassic Park, nature will find a way? It's more resilient to climate change and better suited for warmer temperatures, according to paleontologist Larissa DeSantis of Vanderbilt, carnivore tooth expert, co-authored a study in how the diet of polar bears differs in a warming world. The Pizzly bear, identified by their off-white coat and elongated schnoz, reportedly formed when melting sea ice forced the world's largest land carnivore to migrate inland. There they hooked up with the grizzlies migrating north from Alaska.
Yeah. It's like worst scenario imaginable if you live in Alaska. I mean, polar bears are they're an apex predator.
Well, I mean, that's what nature's got to do, right? I mean,
outside of human beings with guns, they really don't have any competition.
It's one other.
I mean, pound for pound, they're the most ferocious animal on the planet.
One other obstacle you have to take into consideration when you're living up above the border up there, the Pizzly bear gonna get you.
Could you imagine just swimming along and looking over and seeing a polar bear swimming? You ever seen those videos where they're swimming on? They're incredible swimmers.
What do you like your chances against more, a grizzly or a polar bear?
Oh, grizzly. I mean, they're slim and none with both of them, but polar bears, you have almost, if you don't have a large caliber gun, your chances of surviving an up-close encounter with a polar bear are virtually nil. I love polar. Polar bear, my favorite animal.
Was it a grizzly or a polar bear that got after DiCaprio in that movie?
Pretty sure that was a grizzly.
It was a grizzly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? What was that movie?
North American Brown Bear. Is that what they're really called?
I know what movie you're talking about. I know what movie you're
talking
about.
It's not The Departed.
About.
It's but
The
it
Revenant.
Sounds, Revenant. The Revenant. Oh, man. The Revenant. Oh, man. Oh. Oh.
Bear attacks and movies and stuff kind of freak me out. What was that? Have you ever seen Hell on Wheels? The rapper and actor Common, he gets attacked by a full-grown like grizzly bear.
Did he live?
Yeah, for a while. Yeah, made him crazy. It may have been all the salves and poultices the Indians put on him, but yeah, like mauled his head. Well, I wonder what that feels like. A bear gets your head in its mouth. Oof.
You wonder what that feels like?
I imagine
is that what you said? Yeah. You wonder what that feels like? Probably like the icy jaws of death, I would imagine. I don't know, man. I don't know. Crunch. I mean, what percentage of grizzly bear attack people who are attacked by grizzlies survive? I would imagine that's pretty low.
Yeah.
Adam Zagoria of the New York Times reports that among the schools that have reached out to Texas Tech transfer Mac McClung, Kentucky, Gonzaga, Texas, Georgia, Florida, Memphis, NC State, and Boston College.
Interesting. Now, how bad would that suck if he ends up at Kentucky and he ends up beating us?
That would really suck. It's a good offer list, man. I mean, when you've got Kentucky, Gonzaga, Texas, and Florida, Memphis, like those are kick and play.
Yeah.
Don't you think he's just going to go to Texas, follow Beard there?
He might, but, I mean, the question I'm getting at is this – we've got two spots, man. Should we at least reach out and kick the tires there?
Would you rather have him or Tomba?
We could have both. Got two spots. I'd rather have Tomba just because he's a 4 or 5 year guy. Like, we're going to have him for a while. It doesn't seem like he's going anywhere versus – Mac McClung, I mean, this will be his third school in 3 years. Barnes didn't want him coming out of high school, didn't want him coming out of Georgetown, and now apparently doesn't want him coming out of here.
I agree with that.
He doesn't seem like and I wish we had recruited him out of high school. If he was – I mean, if we had it to do over again, I wish
like
we
if
had
– if he was going into, like, his third year with us.
Yeah, and I realize he doesn't strike you as much of a Rick Barnes type of guy. He's flashy with the dunks and everything, questionable how much he gets after it on defense. But you could have coached him up. People are saying some of the same things about the guy we got today, Brandon Huntley Hatfield. But I just wonder, you get him in here, if you coach him up.
But Hatfield's got a better skill set, and I believe
the measurables are off the chart.
Yeah,
there.
Higher ceiling. I mean, he's Hatfield's a potential lottery pick. So is a bunch of these guys, including Tomba. I mean, his ceiling's the sky's the limit. He's just really, really raw. He's dead off like Kyle Alexander. And, you know, I'm going to circle back around and probably say that I agree with you. I don't think it would be a bad thing if Tomba decided not to reclassify, if he wanted to spend a senior year in high school. I'm big – I don't like reclassifying.
I don't like it either, man.
I think it's – you only get to go to high school once in your life.
Well, and it further dilutes the game, man. Now we're talking about younger and younger players playing in college, younger and younger players playing in the NBA. If you're a high school fan, I mean, what does that do to the Catholic squad? You're losing arguably your best player. I guess Edwards is their best player, but seven-footers don't typically grow on trees, as you said.
Well,
you don't
no.
see them in the high school game very much.
No, outside of like IMG, Sunrise, you know, the super, you know, the basketball factory schools, of which my Fighting Irish are, you know, like kind of aspiring to be one of those schools. So, but yeah, I mean, he's not easy to replace at the high school level.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's like, man, you're in high school. Just in, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, stay in high school.
If you could. If you could go back, what would you change? But that year, senior year to first year of college, did you go to college first year out, or did you take a little gap?
Yeah, no, I didn't, and I should have.
You didn't take the gap?
I didn't take the gap, and I should have. Probably be in a lot different place. I probably should have joined the Marine Corps right out of high school. Probably done me a lot of good. Either that or, you know, join the military.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was not ready for – I just had a lot going on. So,
I like these kids that take the gap year. They're like, yeah, I'm going to go to Europe and backpack around the globe for like a year.
Those are rich kids, Russ.
I'm going to live in hostels and stuff. I don't know. I mean, if you do right with your money, and yeah, maybe you get family to chip in a grand or two, you get a summer job, work, save it up, and – you got a backpack and you're just staying at hostels, eating at McDonald's. You could do it. That's what I wish I had done. That's the problem, man. You can't tell 18-year-old you anything, right?
Yeah, that you weren't telling. I can't imagine you were telling your old man. Well, I'm just going to take a gap year, Dad.
I don't think they had gap years. That wasn't a thing back in 1998.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know your dad well, but from what you described to me, I don't think he's was the kind of dad that gap year would have really flown. Maybe I'm wrong. Gap year. I know what my old man would have said. Put a gap.
No bueno.
Put a gap in your teeth.
We're watching GP3's Braves blow yet another game.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are about half engaged with me right now. You're both staring at the
TV. I'm fully engaged. I can do two things at once, okay?
GP3 is...
He doesn't have to be fully engaged. He's the drop-in guy. He's the chime-in guy. He's the guy we talk to when we run out of stuff to say.
Moving around on that. Okay. That chair is becoming more and more decrepit every time I come in.
All these chairs are terrible. Nate, get some new chairs, dude.
No. No, the producers are getting a new stool before any of you clowns get any more chairs.
Well, we don't. We can do all of them at once. But, yes, I'm aware that the stool up there is decrepit and in terrible condition. GP3 was talking about it yesterday. I believe the term wearing a rash on my arse was uttered at one point. I mean,
it does not promote good lumbar vertebrae health.
I don't think it promotes good male reproductive health if you sit on that thing wrong.
Well, no. It's kind of stinky at this point.
But, yeah, the Braves are incredibly disappointing. Poor GP3. He's known nothing but disappointment.
I love it.
He's lamenting during the break.
You, he said,
none of my teams have ever won a championship. He's so monotone and like low key that I don't know when he's really upset, but he can say the most sad,
like Eeyore,
depressing things.
Oh God!
And I don't know, and I'm like, God, man, what you just said is some really heavy stuff. But GP3 will come up, man. A terrorist came into my living room and blew up my house earlier today. It's like, oh really, GP3? That's tough, man. It's a tough break. Or are you going to say, I don't know, I guess I'll just sleep on the curb?
I mean, you guys make it's an art form, the way you all can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Guy.
It's all I've ever seen is just defeat.
It's all I've ever seen except for that one year you got lucky and won one.
Yeah, but you got lucky and saw one. I haven't.
Nah, I mean, it wasn't luck.
Yeah, Bear earned all those Yankees championships that his team has won. When was the last World Series the Yankees won?
Oh, God, it's been up forever.
Guy knows. You don't know.
No, I don't.
2009.
Yeah.
Can you name three players other than Derek Jeter on that 2000? Other than Derek Jeter, Andy Pettitte, and Mariano Rivera, can you name three Yankees?
Oh, God, I mean, you're going to name half the damn team.
Yeah, I'm going to take the three Hall of Famers and set them aside.
Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter. A-Rod was on that team, wasn't he?
Okay. I'll give you A-Rod. It's a championship team. If you're a real fan, you can name the entire batting order.
No.
I could still go through the entire early 90s Braves batting order.
You're a dork with no life.
No, I'm a fan. That's what fans fans
you were
remember.
A baseball dork with no life.
Can you remember the 98 the 98 National Championship team starting lineup?
A good chunk of them, yeah.
You call yourself a fan.
Oh, God. Do you want me to start?
It's an outrage. It's an outrage.
Jamal Lewis, Travis Henry, Travis Stevens, Cozy Coleman, Billy Ratliff, Darwin Walker, Al Wilson.
You're just skipping around.
I'm just naming them off. Deion Grant, Dwayne Goodrich, Fred White. Let me go. Oh, you want to go position group by position group?
Yes, that's how you do it. That's how you do these things. If you're in baseball, you go through the batting order.
Peerless Price.
If you're in basketball, you do the starting lineup.
Raynock Thompson.
That's how these things are done. What are you doing?
Is Bartholomew on the team?
Holiday says, Bear said Catholic is aspiring to be IMG or Sunrise. So is he admitting they recruit? You can recruit now. That's
we're in the private school.
It's a private school league, right? You can do that.
Go to hell, yeah. They're an elite college basketball prep school. They get their kids ready to sign Division I scholarships academically and athletically. Make no apologies for winning or aiming our program in that direction. And I did say our program. Yes, I did.
All right, GP3.
I got to stop. That's driving me nuts, man. Like I'm getting ready to start slapping myself like rain, man.
What?
We've got to come up with something else. I hate GP3.
You know that's only making me like it better. I can't do that. GP?
Yeah.
We're going to have to go back to Destray. I'm literally getting ready to start slapping myself. I hate it.
The Braves had the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth, and down one, nobody out. What is going to happen here?
They just pinched hit for Marcell Ozuna.
What's going to happen here? They pinched hit for their best right-handed batter with another right-handed batter. Why are they doing that? Is Ozuna just suck that bad?
I don't know if he's hurt or if he's just been that bad. I don't know. No outs, though. You got to get at least a run in. Got to get at least one.
I'm feeling a strikeout and a double play. That's how are the Braves going to break GP3's heart?
Or stay tuned. Just walk him in.
Stay tuned to find out. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. All right, we'll get to the phones when we continue. Right after this, more Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee football team back out on the practice field this afternoon, getting ready for not this Saturday, but next Saturday's orange and white game over at Neyland Stadium, a 4 o'clock in the afternoon affair. Vols taking on themselves over at Neyland Stadium, a tradition like none other. Basketball news today, Tennessee picks up a big one. 5-star power forward Brandon Huntley Hatfield commits to Tennessee. He will reclassify into the 2021 signing class and play for the Vols next year. Originally from Clarksville, number 6 overall player in the country, according to 247 in the 2022 class. We'll see where his reclassification puts him, but another big piece to Rick Barnes' puzzle falling into place today. Meanwhile, the Tennessee baseball team getting ready for a huge weekend series against second-ranked Vanderbilt. That shortstop Liam Spence being named to the midseason watch list for the 43rd annual Golden Spikes Award. As announced by USA Baseball on Wednesday. Having a hell of a season, man. Leading the league in batting so far. Our Australian shortstop balling out to start the season.
He's an Aussie?
He is.
That's why he's named Liam.
That is your Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Check them out online at bonoshouses.com. The real estate market is on fire. Houses going for big money right now. Call Bo to find out how much yours could go for on the open market. That phone call and that advice will come to you free. 865-742-1035 is Bo's number. That's 742-1035. And as always, you can visit him online at bonoshouses.com to find out more. To the phones we go. TK is up first today on the Drive. Hello, TK.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, what's up, man?
So first off, from one Yankees fan to another, I was going to help Bear out and give him some names off the 09 team.
Oh, thank you, boy. GK.
Jorge Posada.
The Godzilla, Hideki Matsui, Robinson Cano.
Godzilla.
Mark Teixeira.
Oh, that's right. Teixeira.
Johnny
was
Damon.
Damon. That was after he'd left the Sox and joined the side of righteousness.
Braves win. That's my skip carry right there.
Turn the TV off now. Turn it off.
The Sid Bream? Is that
Sid Slid? You don't even know. That might be my favorite sports memory of my sports fandom.
I don't want to interrupt the caller.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, TK. Look at GP3. He's the happiest I've ever seen him. I don't want to interrupt the caller. Go ahead. I'm sorry. This is just the happiest moment of my life. So I'm sorry, TK.
Yeah, well, at least the Braves finally won.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite the skid there.
It's April.
Imagine getting excited over one win. It couldn't be me.
Yankees lost last night, too, I'm pretty sure.
You guys are just hateful.
It's April.
Hate, hate, hate. All of yous.
Well, when you're part of a dynasty, you don't start about. You don't
All right,
about
TK. You got to start making.
You will
some
show
sense,
our callers some respect. No, he's not.
You're going to get run, TK. Keep that up.
But I'll get the basketball.
Yeah, you do that.
So you said we have two spots left, right?
Theoretically, yes, unless somebody else decides to take off. I mean, this college basketball thing is crazy, man. Like, would it surprise anybody if somebody else stuck their name in the transfer portal at this point?
No.
Technically, we got two spots right now, TK.
Is that with or without Folky?
That is with Folky. Folky doesn't count. He comes back or not, you got two spots.
So we got two spots, and who do we have kind of –
You got Tamba is the only one that's a big one that's reportedly leaning Tennessee's way.
And unless something changes, Powell's not going to get to play this year, correct?
No, I thought with the one-time.
Yeah, I mean, technically he's out. If the one-time thing passes, now the SEC has to pass it too. I mean, it's convoluted, but the thing I keep coming back to is he would not have committed here if he thought he was going to have to sit out. If the SEC decides that he can't play, he'll go somewhere else, man. He ain't sitting out next year.
No.
So where are we putting the hop on this team?
That's a good question. Now, I don't know enough about what everybody else in the country has coming back. I know that Gonzaga is supposed to be very good again. Alabama and Kentucky are supposed to be very good again. Arkansas. I can't imagine that this won't be a top 25 team. Probably top 15-ish, I would say.
If I'm not mistaken, I think this recruiting class sits at second in the nation right now, I believe.
Yeah, I think I saw that earlier today, too. It's pretty strong.
So, Kamba, is he going to – I've only seen a little bit of him, but he looks like a project. We're not expecting him to do anything right off the bat, right?
I'm not. I mean, Bear thinks he's going to be on the Wooden Award watch list next year, but my expectations
I'm just saying that, you know, it's all there's always a risk. You could risk losing him to somebody else if he – you know, you never know with kids. What if he gets miffed that, you know, they backed off of wanting him to reclassify? Better
Bear
offer comes
like,
along.
Looks like Knox Catholic's point guard might be coming next year, too.
He's, from what I've heard, he really likes Tennessee. I mean, he's a Tennessee kid. I believe he's originally from the Tri-Cities.
Do we expect Kennedy Chandler to be one and done, and then for B.J. Edwards to just slide in there and almost seamlessly transition to Tennessee starting point guard immediately?
Probably, and even if he's not one and done, that would be a hell of a two-headed monster. But yeah.
I'm going to say this. If the Ja Morant hop is real on Kennedy Chandler, yeah, it'll be a hell of a season.
Man, it's going to be big time. Good stuff, TK. Anything else, my man?
Go Yankees.
Get the heck out of here, you knucklehead. Let's get my dude Martin in here. I bet he wants to talk some Tennessee football cruton. What's up, Martin? You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Yes, Russell.
Yeah.
Who was the kid that got out of Florida today?
Oh.
Vincent Snead. Is
there an echo in here?
And I hate to ask you this, but I'm a Lady Vol fan, too. And I'd like to know if the Lady Vol's got any commitments today.
Not that I'm aware of, Martin.
I like the Lady Vols.
Me, too.
Do you care for them, Russell?
Do I care for them?
Yes.
I'm an old Lady Vols fan from way back in the day. Yeah, I care for them. I bleed orange, white, and Tennessee Lady Vol blue, Martin. That's what's in my veins.
Well, some people say, why you pull for them? But I tell you what, they can say all they want to about Gino Armiano.
Yeah.
But Pat Head Summit made the game what it is today.
Exactly. Hey, if it weren't for Pat Head Summit, Gino Auriemma would be making me a pizza in some poor neighborhood in Brooklyn right now. You know that's true.
Yes.
Martin.
Either that or a middle school gym teacher somewhere.
No, I'm in a poor neighborhood in Brooklyn, but that's the truth.
In. Before he was getting them, she brought them
exactly.
in.
Exactly. She invented the sport.
That's right, she
not
did.
Not really. Naismith did.
But I just want to know that kid's name, Russell.
Vincent Snead. And that is a quality name, too. I mean,
Vincent Snead.
Yeah, I don't know if he...
He's that's, a nice-looking young man.
He's either a defensive end or lead guitarist in a Motley Crue tribute band.
Yes. But I appreciate you.
Thank you, Martin. I appreciate you, too, buddy. Am I a Lady Vol fan? You got to get that program up and rolling, man. Got to get back. I do not follow their recruiting closely enough to comment. I think it's going well.
You claim to bleed orange, white, and Lady Vol blue, but in the same breath, you have no idea who they're recruiting. You don't follow the Lady Vols more than personally.
You don't know who Tennessee's football's recruiting. So you don't question.
Nobody knows who Heupel's recruiting right now.
You want to bet? We're about to talk to Ryan Callahan. Well, He's got the offer list. Plenty of people
Callahan
know.
Does, but you won't know until Callahan tells you.
Ask me anything.
Who are we recruiting, Russell?
At what position? We're recruiting Joe Milton, the quarterback transfer from Michigan. I think he's going to be on the roster next year. That's big. We're recruiting.
You really going to look at me with a straight face and do that one?
What? We're recruiting lots of players in state. We're recruiting the Wade twins. That's not done, even if they choose Kentucky tomorrow.
Who are we recruiting locally?
I don't think anybody in this class of 2021 or 2022 right now, but I know there's a big offensive lineman at Alcoa.
So who's Holly Jolly recruiting in basketball?
I don't know, Bear. I already said that.
Well, don't get all mad. I mean, you're the way you do this to me all the time with the Yankees, the 98 National Championship team. Can you name me three players not named blah, 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 blah?
No, you got me. I cannot name you our women's basketball recruiting class.
Can you name me three players on our team?
So coming up here at the top of the hour, we got the top four at four headed your way. Right here on Fan Run Radio. Yes, I can name you three players on the team. What are you talking about?
Name them.
You got the Burrell gal, Ray Burrell.
The Burrell gal?
Yeah.
Ray Burrell.
Jordan Horston. And Renai Davis.
Okay.
Do we still have Destiny Salary?
No, and you're a fake and a fraud. You don't watch the Lady Vols. You keep up with the scores on Twitter. Don't act like you do.
Tamari Key, great Lady Vol this past year.
Mm-hmm.
6'5"
I see your skinny fingers working that computer like crazy right now.
Of course not. You know what's interesting about the women's roster?
Don't you know it?
Big different from the men's roster. They don't have the weights on there. Isn't that a little odd? I know that it's rude to talk about a woman's weight.
They're athletes.
But they're athletes, right? Yeah. I mean, we should know. That's a key part of it. She's 6'5". How much does she weigh? That's important information.
I mean, we had that that large girl, young lady a few years ago.
See, I don't think you should phrase it like that. It is, what I mean large, like tall, broad, well-built.
She looked like she's built like Charles Barkley. Round mound of rebound is what she was.
No, don't say that.
Why?
That's rude. Well, you're talking about somebody's daughter.
I mean, we talk about somebody's daughter. I'm talking about a college basketball player.
Stay with us. Kasayana Kushkatua, 6'4" center from Atlanta on the Lady Ball.
How much does she weigh?
Ask me. I don't know my Lady Ball roster.
Your Google fingers are faster than Wallace's.
Get out of here, knucklehead. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.